Good morning. My name is Vince, as you guys have all heard. My wife, Christine, if you don't mind standing, you recognize her from her twin sister, Angela. We have come to this congregation quite a few times now, and it's just lovely to see how you guys have grown. There's a lot of new faces that I've never seen before, and it just really is wonderful. It's wonderful to see what the Lord is doing in your midst, hey? Also very excited about the prospect of a possible new venue for you guys. I mean, you're going to need the space. So, yeah, I'll be trusting with you. And hopefully this year, Brad and I have been chatting, and my plan is to try and come a bit more regularly to visit you guys. I don't know how often that'll be, maybe 3 or 4 times this year at least. So, and I don't feel a pressure to perform this morning, but what I do have for you is a word that I feel, it's a word that I preached in our own congregation back home 3 weeks ago. So the guys from Oxygen in Warmer AM who've come through, they're going to hear a duplicate this morning. But as Brad and I were chatting, I was telling him some of the things I was carrying, and he felt that this would be relevant for you guys. And it's really a message about discipleship. It's a message about relationships in the body of Christ, and how important they are to us, and the level we need to actually give ourselves to one another to actually progress in the Lord. So it comes from the book of 2 Timothy. Back home, I've just started a series on 2 Timothy. I haven't actually preached through a book of the Bible in a long time. And today we're going to just do the first 5 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. But in it, you will see with me, there's this relationship between Paul and a younger pastor or younger elder apostle called Timothy, and we're going to explore that relationship, and I do think there's a lot of relevance in that relationship for us today. So let's read it together, and then we'll see how the Lord speaks to us. Okay, so from verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And so we're going to speak this morning about kingdom relationships and the strong connections and bonds that we see Paul and Timothy had, and I believe that the Lord wants us to have with each other as well. And to see also that so often what you do see in the body of Christ is that people are happy with a very surface level relationship. You know, we'll see each other maybe on a Sunday, and we're kind of happy with that, but the Lord really does want us to go a lot deeper than that. And it's interesting, as you even read these first 5 verses, you might be tempted as you're reading through a letter like this to just get through those verses because we want to get to some of the meaty stuff. But I find that there's a lot of these kinds of relational verses, which might not be theology that you're wanting to read, but it's Paul's relationship. And he had lots of relationships in the body of Christ. In his letters, he signs off the end. You'll often sign off, greet so-and-so and so-and-so. And there's all these rich relationships and very, very important for us. And the church will not be the church as it's supposed to be without the strength of those relationships. I think what modern-day churches are tempted to become sometimes is like, let's have a really strong pastor, a really strong, you know, someone who can preach really well, and then we'll just collect the crowds, and we'll build church like that. But the Lord actually wants in there, in the seats, in the congregation, to be built strongly and strongly connected through loving relationships. So I really applaud the move towards multiplying your communities. I think that's going to be good for you guys, and it will help to solidify, you know, your relationships. Okay. So the title this morning is Strong Bonds, the bonds that we have together. So firstly, you know, Timothy was this really young guy when Paul first met him. He was known for his strong faith. He obviously, as we read, Paul already knew of his grandmother and his mother, and they had brought him up in the scriptures. And Paul eventually takes him along, this guy Timothy, along with him on his missionary journeys. And you don't only read about Timothy in the two letters of Timothy. You read about him in some of the other letters as well. So Timothy was quite well known. And the first question I want to ask is, why does Paul want to take this young guy along with him on these journeys? I mean, these journeys are long journeys. It's not like we come to JBay for a morning and we go back home this afternoon. They would be out for months at a time, maybe years. And really, it's because we can't do Christianity alone. We're not meant to. We're meant to actually have partners in the Lord. And also, Paul being the older man, yeah, he needs to pass on what he has received to the younger generation. He knows he's not going to be around forever. In fact, when he's writing to Timothy, it's towards the end of his life. He's sitting in prison by himself. He's writing a letter to Timothy. And he has to keep passing on what he's received. And anyway, this decision of taking Timothy on the missionary journeys with him affected the rest of both of their lives, because they became very, very important to each other. And just to say that there are certain friendships that each of us, that I believe the Lord has for each of us, that are not just going to be normal friendships. They're going to be, you know, we're going to be called to walk together with a certain brother or sister in the Lord and actually become real partners in the Lord. And that friendship would be something that would strengthen us and really help us. And we see Jesus, the Son of God, choosing 12 disciples right at the beginning of his public ministry. And for each of these disciples, it meant actively making this decision to leave behind my career and all these things that I once knew and following Jesus. And they didn't know where it was going to lead them or how long it was going to be for, but it was an active leaving behind and relearning something. They found something in Christ. And yeah, you've got Timothy doing something similar to Paul. And Paul had often used this expression, like, follow me as I follow Christ. And there were a number of guys that followed Paul, not just Timothy, but this morning we'll focus just on him. And so the Lord really has for each of us discipleship relationships that he would like us to be a part of. And it's something I'd like you to think about right now, even as you're sitting in your seat. You know, am I in a discipleship relationship? Do I have people speaking into my life? Are there those that I'm looking out for as a shepherd? You know, are there those young in the Lord that I'm looking out for, that I'm going after, guiding them? You know, or do I sort of do Christianity as it's between me and the Lord? And so there's this model that we find in the New Testament that Paul is really trying to show everyone. And it comes through in his writings all the time. And so I do believe that, I mean, I obviously don't know everyone yet. There's a lot of people I don't know. And I don't know how many people are in your communities right now. But I do believe that everyone who's called to be a member in the Church of Christ needs to be in open, committed, accountable relationships. So what that practically would look like for you guys, if you're wanting to grow, you need to be part of one of the communities. So it's good that they're going to be multiplying, because we need more space for everyone to be a part of that. In fact, so back home in PE, we've often defined our membership very clearly by saying that you can't be a member of our church if you're not part of one of our communities. The reason is because a member is someone who walks accountably. They're opening up their life to those in the church. And if you're really just coming on a Sunday, well, you know, we might know you on a surface level, but not truly. And a member is someone who's going to open their life, who's going to come on mission together with us and walk in the purposes of the Lord. And so I think one of the sort of foundational things I'd like to say this morning is that these deeper relationships that the Lord has for us, they develop as we go into the purposes of the Lord together, as we go on mission together, as we serve the Lord in the local church together. Not, you know, the modern like sort of thing that I've seen in churches is that people, well, I'm going to church to receive my blessing, but it's very much just me and the Lord, and I don't really mind too much about the people next to me, but it's me and the Lord. And that is just not what we find in the New Testament. They were together, loving one another, and in fact, that is where a lot of your blessing lies, is in the loving of one another. and partnering with the Lord like that. So we are called to have normal friendships, people we bri with, people we surf with, you know, that we enjoy life with. But that's sort of one sort of level, which is quite a, you know, it's an okay level, but there's a deeper level of relationship that the Lord wants us, especially in the church, which and that's what I'm wanting to bring to you this morning, to see between Paul and Timothy, and that is people that we have purpose with. So friends might be someone, you know, I'm a friend with like Gary because we like surfing the same waves, we enjoy the same things, we speak the same kind of lingo, but relationships in the Lord might be very different. They might be people that are very different to us, but we're called to serve in the same body together. We've got the same purposes. And so this is not just a natural friendship that is convenient, but it's we're partners in the Lord. I think Paul and Timothy, as you explore it, they're very different personalities. And you see, you know, Jesus kind of, he says something at one point. He's ministering to a large crowd. And while he's there, his mother and his brothers and sisters, they come to try and get him out of the meeting. Other texts will say it's almost like concerned about Jesus. They think he's overdoing it. He's become too radical almost. And so they come to get him. And someone comes to Jesus and whispers in his ear, "Your mother and your brothers are yet to fetch you." And in Luke chapter 8, we read, "Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.'" So they're basically interrupting the whole meeting. And Jesus answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And, you know, his real mother, Mary, and the brothers, James, I think Judas was one of them. Not Judas Iscariot, but one of them was called Judas. He had a sister, at least one or two sisters. But they might have been quite offended by that. You know, like we are his inner circle. And Jesus going, actually, anyone who does the will of God, they are my true mother, my mother and my brothers and sisters. And there's something about this that I just wanted to point out. And that is that the Lord wants us to have true, deep brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in the body of Christ. And you know, we can't, none of us could choose the family we were born into. Some of us were very blessed, born into Christian homes with loving parents, and some of us weren't. Some of us were born into like quite shocking homes where we weren't treated well. So none of us can choose that. We are called to honor our mothers and fathers, but the Lord gives us the body of Christ. And if it's a healthy church, it can be really a place where the Lord gives you relationships that will heal, that will be everything that God is needing to build into your life through older men and women, through brothers and sisters, and the kinds of bonds that we can develop amongst each other is really, really strong and very, very special. And so, you know, we're all part of the Church of Jesus Christ, which is all the Christians in the whole world. But we're all called, and you'll read it in Paul's letters, to belong to a local body like you guys are, to one local body where we give ourselves to the body. And you know we can't have deep relationships with all the Christians in the world, but we can have deep relationships in our local bodies. And I do believe that you guys are doing things right, you know, from the word go. And we're starting out by building relationships. So, but yeah, as I said, many choose rather shallow relationships. And if you only have shallow relationships, one of the fixes will be, well, let me start serving in the local church. Let me start partnering with those around me. And as we serve the Lord together, doing outreaches together, serving in the community together, you know, using our spiritual gifts together in the local church, well, now our relationships are going to start. It's going to, you know, for those who only just attend on a Sunday, that's like the very shallows. The Lord's got so much more for you. He wants you to be part of a community, as he said, and then eventually he wants you to partner with others. And so those are some of the deepest relationships that I have. I've got a team of 7 elders that I'm a part of in my congregation. Those are very close relationships for me. We also, some of our community leaders, some of you even, yeah, that we have served with, those people become really close to us. They become part of our inner circle as we, you know, and we're linked together by the purposes of the Lord. But as we serve the Lord together, we get close together as well. And really, the posture of partnership in the Lord, and that is like a term that I'd love to just leave with you, but to partner in the Lord, not just to attend a church, but have partners. The posture of partnership is side by side, and we're looking outward, so we're not just, our relationship isn't just about us. We're side by side serving the Lord, looking outward for His glory. And as we do that, you know, the Lord blesses us. So, let's just quickly look, continue with this text. Verse 2. Who was Timothy to Paul ultimately? Paul writes to Timothy like this. He says, "To Timothy, my beloved child." So Timothy was like, became like a spiritual son to Paul, which is quite a big statement, you know. And the other verses in the first letter of Timothy he wrote, he called Timothy my true son in the faith. To the Corinthians, he says, "My son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord." And again, he uses that term, son, the son whom I love. And so, we obviously, as I mentioned earlier on, we've all got natural moms, natural dads, and we're called to honor them. But the Lord has also given us spiritual moms and dads. Many people miss out on that because they only attend on a Sunday. But the Lord wants you to go deeper. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, and this is such a great verse. You should underline it or highlight it in your Bible. But Paul writes this, "For you have had countless guides in Christ, but you do not have many fathers. And I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel." He's not a natural father to the Corinthians, but he said, "In Christ I become your father." And he's making a difference here between guides and fathers, or should I say father stroke mothers. Because a guide is, when I looked up this word, a guide was someone that the father would hire to like go and fetch the children from school. And a guide was, he's kind of just doing the chores. The child would follow the guide, but the guide doesn't, he's not invested as the father would be invested in that relationship. So, you know, he's doing a job. A father, if you think about a natural father or mother, they'll give anything to raise their child well in the Lord. Well, not just in the Lord, but just in life. They want to give, if I think about our children, what we have sacrificed to make sure they grow up healthily, well, that's what a mother or father does. And in Christ, many have chosen rather to have guides. And a guide would be, you know, "I follow so-and-so's teachings online." I mean, that person doesn't know you. You know, and people think, well, I'm being discipled by, you know, I can drop a host of names here, but who actually knows your life? Do you have a father or mother in the faith who knows your life? Like when you're walking off track, they can actually draw nearer to you and go, "You know what, I'm actually quite concerned about you." I did that with a guy in this week, a guy that we've been praying with, we've been walking with. He comes out of like quite a bad background, and he's often had troubles in his life, and we've seen him really like, you know, coming through a lot. But this week, I've been noticing some stuff. He's been skipping church. I met with him this week, and I decided I have to be honest with him. So, he's 1 year older than me, so I'm not a father in the natural, but I am a father to him like in the spirit. And I said to him, "I've got concerns about some of the decisions you're making, some of the choices you're making. If those who only have guides will never hear that. Well, people will just go, 'Bless you, brother. We'll see you next Sunday.' And if we don't see you, well, you know, we'll miss you." But a true father, true mother, true brother and sister, they're going to come after you. They're going to speak the harder truths to you that you don't always want to hear. So Paul says this to the Thessalonians. If we can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to show you something. It's so interesting. In verse 11, and then we're going to go to verses 7 and 8, which is higher up. So he speaks to the Thessalonians, and he uses two metaphors. He says, "I'm like a father to you, but at other times I'm like a mother to you." And there's this difference in the way that he relates to certain people, and I want you to pick up on it. So this word father is very important. So he says, "For..." So to the Thessalonians, "For you know how like a father with his children, We exhorted each one of you. We encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, or worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. A bit further before that, he spoke in verse 7, he's to the same group of people, he's saying that we were gentle among you like a nursing mother. Now, I want you to notice the difference between the language. Nursing mother, taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very own selves, because you'd become very dear to us. And we need, so it's not about literal men and women. You know, Paul is saying, me and my team, when we came to you as a church, there were times we were like a father to you. There were other times we were like a nursing mother to you. And actually, we need that both, because when we're born into a family, you're not just born to a dad or to a mom. You're born to, if it's a whole household, you're born to a mother and a father. And we actually need the strength of both. And that's what we need in the body of Christ. And he's saying, like a father, look at the language in verse 11. Spiritual fathers, this is what they do for us. And you know what? Every one of us need this. If you've only had guides up to today, you haven't had the language that Paul's speaking here. Listen to what he says. We exhorted each one of you. We encouraged you. We charged you to live a life worthy of the gospel, to live a life worthy of God. You know, some of that talk is quite straight talk. When he's charging him, he's like probably talking about their laziness or their slackness. I'm charging you, you know, rise up. You need to live a life worthy of the Lord. That's what a dad does. So moms are much more nurturing, and that's what we see in the other verses. The moms are like, I'm affectionate about you. I just want to share. He says, yeah, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel, but our own selves. You'd become so dear to us. So moms use just the loving language, and sometimes that's what you need in life. You just need to know that someone is looking out for you. They're there for you. But you know, when that same person is walking off the path, like my friend this week, he doesn't need to know just how much I love him while he's walking off the path. He needs to know that I need to come alongside of him like a father and say, you need to live a life worthy of the gospel. I'm uncomfortable with the things that I'm seeing in your life, and I had to speak a much stronger language to him this week. It's a language of love, but it's like I'm calling him back, because if I don't, I'm scared that I'm not going to see him again, you know? And so we need both. Not only that we need this, we actually need to be this to the younger generation below us. And so you can't just depend on Brandon and Mandy as the mom and dad of the house. You know, we need lots of moms and dads in the body of Christ who will speak to one another, who will catch one another and spur each other on in the Lord. The body of Christ is meant to be full of them. I mean, people don't come from good households often. More and more. As the world degrades, you know, the households are not good households. But hopefully in the body of Christ, we would have people who would speak into our lives. Real proper spiritual fathers and mothers. And, you know, as I was preparing this, I reflected upon a couple of people that have been spiritual fathers to me. I probably had a few spiritual moms as well, but I haven't given that thought. But spiritual fathers. One was a guy called Grant Baker. I think he's been here. At school, I got pretty much saved through him, and there have been times that, you know, he's spoken really straight and hard things into my life. But obviously, in all these relationships, there's so much acceptance, there's so much love. You know, he just phoned me the other day out the blue just to see how I am. And another one was Dave Pedersen. Some of you might know him. He's part of a church called Fountain Vineyard in Port Elizabeth that I was a part of, and for about 10 years. I was under his leadership, and then we planted a church, and I was under his guidance for another 5 or so. And so he had a big part to play in shaping me. Came out of a particular church, and I had to unlearn a lot of stuff, and that's what these spiritual fathers will do for us. I had to unlearn a lot of bad stuff that I'd picked up, and I relearned good stuff through him. And that is good. That is very good for me. And then probably one of the strongest and definitely current spiritual fathers in my life has been actually my brother-in-law, who's a year and a half younger than me. So it's not an age thing. And that's Christine's twin sister, her husband, Brad Verena. And he helped to shape me. You know, when I joined him about 13 years ago, I'd already by that stage been in ministry for 11 or 12 years. So I came to him not as like a little junior. I came to him like having, you know, done the stuff. But he was further than me in the Lord. There was a certain grace in his life, certain emphasis that he carried. And I just knew I needed what he had. And through the years now, I've learned so much from him. It's, you know, I haven't learned it by sitting with him once for coffee and him just giving it to me all in one go. Because that's not always how you learn. But for 13 years, purposing our lives together, serving the Lord together, I've learned, I've caught a lot of what he has. So our lives need to be shaped by faithful people in God's house. And every one of us, so there's this invitation for you. And then our lives need to leave behind those who we are shaping. So we need to receive it, we need to give it. Okay, and so really, again, and this will be a challenge maybe to some of us, but to examine your own life today, do I do solo Christianity? You know, is it just me and myself? I kind of know everyone around me on a shallow basis. Because that's actually not a New Testament model at all. It's actually quite unbiblical. You won't find that in the Bible. You don't read in Paul's letters people who attend church on Sunday morning, and then that's about the only Christian interaction. So we give ourselves, you know, and then just to say, so if I could just quickly speak into the communities and how we do this community life and fathers and mothers in the Lord and what kind of authority do they have over us and what kind of responsibility do we have and all these things. I'll just say this, authority and responsibility always go hand in hand. So if someone has authority over your life, they've also got responsibility over your life. And you can't have one without the other. So you can't have, like in our communities, and you know, basically what we say, when you join the local church, when you join your community, open up your life to people you trust in the Lord. Now, I know people have been abused in the body of Christ through bad leadership, and I know that that kind of thing happens. But it doesn't mean you must exit for the rest of your life, because that's happened. So you need to find healthy people that you feel the Lord's in it. And then you need to give authority to them. Like, in other words, what I mean by give authority is open your heart to them, open your life to them, submit to their leadership. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verse 17 both talk about submit to your leaders, obey them. Just do that. And so we need to open our lives to them, and then they will take responsibility as shepherds over us to guide us. And if you're in leadership, then that's also it's the same thing. You know, I often have to speak to our community leaders because they do take a lot of responsibility over people's lives. But sometimes, this is now on the negative side, sometimes what happens, where authority and responsibility are not in sync. Sometimes what happens is one of our community leaders in this week is telling us about a lady who hasn't been in their community for nearly a year. She's not in community and she doesn't come to church anymore, which pretty much means she's not in the body of Christ. Yet, him and his wife, as community leaders, are lie awake at night worrying about her life. And whenever she's in a crisis, and she's often in the crisis because she's removed herself from the body of Christ, she like puts long messages on their WhatsApp, the community WhatsApp group prayer requests. And so she's saying, guys, I'm putting all the responsibility of my spiritual life onto you, but I'm closed off to you. I'm not giving you any authority to speak into my life. And it like just doesn't work. Doesn't work. You know, we have to open our lives to others, which takes faith and trust. And then they will help to lead us and guide us. So I'm just trying to drop that as a principle in here, because I'm hoping that'll help you even as you work this out. Okay. So Paul, he continues to write and he says to Timothy, I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. And why does he remember him so fondly, you know? And it's because as I looked up and I dug a little bit deeper, I saw that Paul and Timothy actually, they were on mission together for 10 to 15 years, you know? And like I said, it wasn't just like serving at the office together, you know what I mean? They were journeying together, they were traveling, they were sharing rooms, they were eating together, they were, you know, on ships together, traveling facing hardships together, sharing ablutions together, all these things, you know, sharing lives together, very, very, very close relationships. So Paul, now that they're separated later in life, he's going, Timothy, I remember you. I'll just keep remembering you, and I pray for you every time I remember you. In 2 Timothy 3, he says to him, actually, he says, you, however, have followed my teaching, and I want you to catch this. He's saying to Timothy, you haven't only followed my teaching. It's not like I'm an online teacher and you've only followed my teaching. There's lots of things that Timothy followed Paul in. You followed my teaching, my conduct, the way I do things. You can only catch that by being with someone. My aim in life, like the whole reason why I'm alive, the purpose, the vision I live with, you've caught that from me. You followed my faith. Again, you've seen that expressed. You followed my patience. So you've seen Paul is just like a gifted man, but there must have been times maybe he was tempted to be impatient. And when he was patient, like Timothy would have seen the patience that Paul had with the churches. And you followed my love. You followed my steadfastness. You followed my persecutions and sufferings. In other words, for me, what these two verses are showing here, you haven't only followed my teachings. That's just very theoretical, you know, and there's just so much more to a Christian life than theory. We need all of the stuff that you get from a living relationship. So I hope that we're being like stirred up this morning to give ourselves to one another, to, you know, okay. I like that. I like that. Okay. He says this, but later on, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he writes about Timothy to other churches. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him. I have no one like Timothy who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And so there's this sense like he wants to send someone to this church, and there's no one better that he knows than Timothy, his son in the Lord. Timothy's learned all these things from him. He knows Timothy will carry his heart. He says, a lot of the other guys that I could send to you, actually, they've got secret ambition in their hearts. You know, they seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. I need to send Timothy. I can trust him. That's how the gospel continues healthily from one generation to the next. Again, it's spiritual fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. And so now they are, you know, they find themselves, as he's writing this to Timothy, they find themselves separated. They were together for a long time. Now they're separated, but they're separated because of God's calling. They didn't have a fallout. They're separated because God's calling. And so, you know, there were times where Paul sent Timothy to other churches as well. We read it in 1 Thessalonians 3 that he sent him there to strengthen churches. He sent him to the Corinthians. He sent him to the Philippians. And now, actually, Timothy is a pastor or the lead elder in the Ephesian church. And they're separated by, you know, it's like these days, we just got WhatsApp and we can speak to guys across the world in an instant. But for them, they were separated by about 2,000 kilometers by land and sea. To like see each other, it would be land and sea, and it's going to take between 4 and 6 weeks of travel to eventually get together. So they would write these letters, and hopefully the letters would get to each other. But it's, you know, much more separated than we are. But one of the things I wanted to just say is that sometimes, even as your JBA congregation grows, how many communities have you got? Three at the moment. Maybe if they all multiply, it'll be 6 shortly. And what will happen is in your community, you've got all these best friends. And now suddenly, you know, you need to multiply. From next week, we're losing half of the community to make space for new growth. But there's always this like heartache. We have to say goodbye, you know. And community multiplications need to happen because we need to keep the circle open. When there's, you know, we know of one particular community from our previous church, the exact same people were together for like 20 years or something. And they never really opened that circle much wider, so no one could get in there, you know. And God does call us to keep on multiplying, to keep on opening up. And sometimes it even means new congregations. And I don't know, I don't want to predict too much, but I think as you guys grow, eventually you'll have to be an AM congregation and a PM congregation. Maybe you'll even supplant out into neighboring areas, farm areas or something. I'm just saying, you might not always all be together. So enjoy it now, you know, while you have these relationships. But there are, there's a lot of friends that from our congregation, being the original Oxygen Life congregation, we have planted out so many guys. So many people that were elders with me that I would see every week, and now they have grown in the Lord, and they're leading their own works, you know, and they're still partners in the Lord, but it's like Paul and Timothy, they were eventually more distant. You know, and if we hadn't done these things, if we hadn't planted new congregations, we would still just be one big mega congregation in PE with only Brad leading on a Sunday, one worship team, whereas now we've got 9 guys preaching on a Sunday, 9 worship teams. There's a multiplication of just the gifting of God because we keep on planting out. So we don't want to be bottlenecks, you know. And also people, even now, our children, they're at a very interesting stage of life. They're nearing, my daughter's in matric, my son's out of school and his second year out of school. We love having our children at home, but we know we can't keep them forever. In about 3 or 4 years after university, they're out of the house and then they'll never be back. But we'll always have that bond. And I'm just saying, it's similar with even congregations. It's never going to stay exactly the same forever. And you know, I mention all of this because obviously a big, big thing that has happened for us is when at the end of last year, Brad and Angela came to visit us one morning and said, guys, we're going to Australia. And like Christine fell over on the floor. I mean, it was a hard thing for us. I mean, we had tears in our eyes. Because we've been close to them, and it's been such a wonderful season of being close and serving the Lord together. And, you know, when I think about who they have been to us, they are natural family, but actually they've been more than natural family to us. They've been much more brothers and sisters in the Lord, or moms and dads in the Lord even, in a sense. And we've grown so much with them. We've learned, you know, what they carry in the Lord. And for us to have to think of them going now to plant in Australia, it's hard. There's a sense of like a real loss for us. But we know that it's right. And you can't bottleneck everything because we need to try and protect that relationship. You can't do that. So, you know, I just think about, yeah, again, when I came into Oxygen Life 13 years ago, what I thought I knew and how my life has developed since then until now. It's been a massive change in my thinking, in my own growth, maturity, the way I'm seeing things, the way I understand things. I came in knew I was lacking certain things, but I didn't know what it was. And I knew I'd only get it on the job. I'd only get it in relationship as we serve the Lord together. And it took me, I said to Brad, I think it took me at least 3 years of working together to actually catch the full DNA of what they were carrying. And even up to today, I'm just like every time we're in a meeting with Brad, listening to everything he says, because I'm going, he's not going to be here forever. I better listen to everything he's saying, you know, because I just know he carries certain wisdom and there's things that I need to continually receive from him. And so, Paul and Timothy had this as he had to, you know, send him. And so in verse 4, and I'll start coming towards a close shortly, but he says, I remember your tears, Timothy. I remember your tears, and I long to see you, that you know that I may be filled with joy. But tears means like there were times that they were together, and he remembers maybe praying over Timothy. He remembers that Timothy was filled with emotions. They had a really close relationship, and he remembers these tears. And he says, now that I remember these tears, I long to see you. There's something special about those moments. The Lord calls us even to share our emotions together, you know, not to pretend everything's okay. And he says, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. You know, towards the end of 2 Timothy, Paul actually says this. He says 2 Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. You know, he's like nearing the end of his life. Timothy, before I die, like I want to see you one more time. Come and visit me. I know it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks on ships and overland, but come and try and get here before winter, you know. I want to see you. And we need that. We we need to make these efforts to walk together. And then to just write, you know, in sort of in closing, one of the last things I want to bring up is in verse 5. He says, Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. And Timothy was quite a, as you read around, you see he battles with intimidation, fear and timidity. And so Paul actually is encouraging him. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. There are these times where, you know, maybe Timothy was battling with discouragement, he's battling with fears. He was, you know, as a leader of a big church, there was heavy burdens of ministry. And I think Paul was reassuring him. And certainly, and I'm just to make it practical for you guys, I've had that with Brad. As even I've taken over the congregation from him about 7-8 years ago, I would often be wondering, I wonder if I'm doing a good job. Like, I hope that I'm doing a good job. And if Brad, like, maybe asked to see us for coffee, I'd wonder, you know, if he's going to say, like, I'm disappointed because, you know, you haven't done a good job, or, you know, in the back of my mind. But so often he's come to me and he said, you guys are just doing a great job. Now, those are encouragements that have really helped me. They've really helped me to know, okay, what I've done is not only recognized, but it's appreciated. It helps me to know that I'm not doing anything wrong. I can just keep going. Those reassurances, and we all need that. So often, you know, just to say, when you step out for the Lord in whatever your gifting is, there'll be times you just won't know. Did I do that thing right? Did I share in that meeting correctly? Did I serve correctly? And you just need these spiritual moms and dads to come alongside you saying, man, you're doing well. You know, yes, we need tweaking. I had a lot of tweaking and I still get some tweaks. But I'd say through the years, because I've opened my heart and I've actually really tried to, my posture has been, when I joined the church, my posture was, I had a church of about 50 people and we all came and joined Oxygen Life. There were about 350 people. And it was, you know, I can give you the backstory to that at some point. It was a very clear leading of the Lord. It wasn't just something we thumbsucked. It was the Lord led us, scriptures, prophetic words or anything. But I came in going, like I'd felt up to that point, there was a 5-year period in which I really felt there was this huge ceiling over my spiritual journey. And I knew we needed to grow, but I couldn't grow. And it was frustrating, and it's prayer and fasting, all these things, that ceiling wasn't breaking. As soon as we joined with Oxygen Life, it's like that invisible ceiling that I felt just shattered. And immediately I felt there was growth again. So it was just amazing. So why, I'm kind of losing my track of thought, but why am I sharing that with you? Well, maybe you just needed to hear that. I don't know. So I joined there, and but I had to unlearn a lot of things. And especially in the beginning, there were some hard conversations. There were times that Brad had to call me aside and like, yet, so I had to unlearn things again. I think that's very much a part of discipleship. We have to unlearn our old ways, bad habits, and relearn new ways. And that is really good for me. And so in the beginning, I'd say the tweaks were at a much higher percentage. Maybe like 50-50 of our times together would be tweaking and then encouragements. Whereas now, because I've really listened to him through the that is why I told you that, is because my posture was, as I came into this, Brad obviously knows a lot of stuff that I don't know, because if I look at the fruit of what he's done versus the fruit of what I've done, I can't come in like an equal here. I'm going to have to come in under him, you know, and go, he knows things. So, okay, so that is my posture, a learning posture. And by doing that, I have learned, and I have come into a new space, and now when we get together, I think I only get about 10% tweaks now, you know? 90% of it is, man, you guys are doing a great job. You just keep going. And so I think he feels relieved that he, when God calls him to Australia, Oxygen Life won't fall apart down here. Because you know what? I've trained up, and it's not only me. There's a bunch of guys that Brad has trained up, and we are ready for him to go without the church falling apart. And I'm just trying to give you some practical insights as to how this whole thing works together. Okay, and I'll end off with this. And I know you guys aren't used to long preachers, eh? So, So forgive me, but I've tried to make it quite practical for you. I'll end off with this last verse. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." He's like, kind of some of his last instructions to Timothy is going, okay, I want you to see the generations here. Paul speaks to Timothy, that second generation. He says, Timothy, you need to, all the things you've heard from me, entrust to reliable men. That's a third generation. But these reliable men must be able to teach others also. He's like looking down the line. That's what discipleship is. It's not just one guru who knows everything, and when he dies, well, then everything just, the church closes down. We need to pass it on. That's how it works.